Welcome to Offline, a podcast about building a 100% online and remote expertise-driven business without the bullshit. Hosted remotely by me, Liston Witherell.
And me, Philip Morgan. You'll learn how we're building our businesses, what scares the shit out of us, and hear from our friends and experts who are building their remote businesses too. Welcome to Offline.
Philip Morgan.
Liston Witherell.
Another offline episode. Can you believe that we've done over 70 of these?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Well, that's not an exciting story, is it?
Yeah, it's just the value of like putting something on the calendar that happens every week. Like before you know it, you've done 70 of those things.
Yeah. Like you have a real body of work. I was realizing between this podcast and my other two, I've published well over 100 episodes in the last, not even year, like 9 months.
And that's not counting the episodes we deleted in the hidden archives, right?
Well, so the fact that we're on, I don't remember what number this is, 76 or something, 77. That does include the archived episodes.
Okay, got it. Oh, well.
But that would have been a better story.
Yeah, it would have been.
Oh, well. So, Philip, the resistance. So, an idea that comes from the great Stephen Pressfield, the author, which I think originally he wrote about in The War of Art. Is that right?
Yep. And as far as I know, yes, which I've not read. There's a shorter book, which in the audio version read by the author, I think it's like someone told me recently it was like 90 minutes for the whole thing, end to end. I mean, you and I have almost produced podcasts that long that are a fraction of the value of this book and this idea. The book is called Do the Work, and by the same author, Stephen Pressfield. And it's like a distillation of this idea of the resistance.
Yeah. And I have read both of those books, actually. And I highly recommend both of them. And I believe that the genesis of this episode was actually, I'm making all this up, so you can tell me if this is a total fabrication of my imagination or if I'm on track. You're running something called the Expertise Incubator, whereby you help independent consultants or owners of small firms become regular publishers, daily publishers, especially to their email list and their blog. My guess is some of them have experienced what Stephen Pressfield calls the resistance, which is a nagging voice telling you that you suck and you should stop immediately, more or less, right? Like it's basically, it's hindering your progress to get the work done because of all of the inherent risk that comes with publishing and sharing your work.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I think that's probably what led us to put this on our list of topics. And you're right, the Expertise Incubator is a series of five challenges. Each one the group spends 3 months focused on. And there are these small groups of five people who participate. And yeah, that certainly is what led, I think, you and I to, before one of our recordings, to talk about the resistance. And that led to this idea that there's the resistance, which I think you articulated really well. And then there's this other thing that is a sort of signal from your mind, your emotions, your something, that you're just not loving what you're doing. And I think being able to distinguish between the two is important because they can look really similar. They can feel similar, maybe identical. And I think if you sort of uncritically look at that feeling of like, oh, God, I don't want to do this, you're going to hold back from doing really important things. You're going to hold back and decide not to do things that could be revolutionary for your career, your life. And so the resistance appears to be a signal, the clear interpretation of which is don't do this. And like misapplying your effort, sticking with something way longer than you should, sends similar signals, don't do this. And I think I wanted to talk about what's the difference between those two and like how could you differentiate the two? We should start with like defining what they are, but that's, I think, what we'll talk about today.
We should, but I'm going to take a stab at it. I'm just going to jump completely out of order. And you, dear listener, you can express your frustration to my hate mail. Just send it to hatemail@liston.io. That email address doesn't exist. My belief is that the resistance is a voice that's telling you that you shouldn't do it, or that you're not qualified, or that you're a fraud. And not loving it is basically more like, I don't really want to do that. Your heart's not in the outcome that it would achieve, whereas the resistance is preventing you from pursuing an outcome that you want.
Okay, well, thanks, folks, for checking out episode 71 of Offline. Yeah, I mean, I think that that's totally valid. Now, of course, we're going to fill up most of the rest of an hour talking about this anyway.
Indeed.
But yeah, I don't find anything to disagree with there. What I'm hoping is that that sort of whets the appetite of our listeners for what's to come.
So let's talk about the resistance. How would you define the resistance?
Well, I think you came really close before, and it's an internal experience, first of all. It's a lot of it. It could be a thought, a series of thoughts, a sort of stream of thought. It could be a feeling. Let's just talk about it as a thought. The thought often goes, this is a bad idea. Or as you mentioned, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm good enough to do this. I don't know if I can achieve this. I don't know if the quality is going to be there. Sometimes it's like really focusing on the negative parts of the experience of getting there. Like, I'm probably going to get criticized. That's going to feel not great or terrible or somewhere in between. And maybe I don't really need to do this after all. Maybe this isn't as important as I thought. So it's a sense of doubt about what you're doing. You know, emotionally, it shows up as a feeling of doubt or as a feeling of hesitation, growing to the point that it kind of shuts down your action towards that thing, whatever it is. It's a feeling of, if you just sort of look inward, like self-reflective, it's like, I don't know if I'm good enough. I'm probably not the right person to do this. Not so sure this is a good idea for me. So those are some of the manifestations of the resistance. Stephen Pressfield does a much better job of like articulating it in a really lively, specific way. How does it show up for you, Liston?
I think anytime I try to do something new, and especially announce to people that I'm doing something new, I think I have a voice in my head telling me that it's not going to be any good. There's no point in trying. Essentially that, I guess at its core, sort of like, I'm not good enough, or I'm not exceptional, I think is probably more accurate, right? So I'm not exceptional at making videos, making podcasts, writing, sending emails, delivering consult, whatever it is. Basically shows up every time I try something new, I think is the truth. And so I just finished my course, which means now I'm immediately turning my attention back to writing my book in between all the other shit that I've bitten off. But as soon as I sit down to write the book again, I will re-experience what I felt for the first 3 weeks of writing it, which is a feeling that the book has no direction. It's not different enough. Why does the world need another book about sales? Isn't all of this stuff self-evident? Yeah, basically like a little war waged within my head about all the reasons why I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And it's not, again, to go back to the original analogy that I used, I want to write a book and I want to help people. That's ultimately the reason I'm doing it. So it's not that I do want the outcome, but the process of the work can feel like torture at times.
Yeah. You describe it as a voice in your head. I'm going to imagine, or I'm going to guess that that voice speaks with the same accent as you do, which is not much of an accent. It's kind of a neutral West Coast accent.
Yeah.
And kind of sounds a lot like Liston Witherell when it speaks. Am I right?
Yeah, totally. And it's true. And the funny thing is, it's like the evil twin, right? Because yeah. In your conscious mind, you would never talk about yourself that way. In other words, when we think consciously, we're essentially accessing our rational mind. And when we do that, we would look for evidence, right? So if I'm feeling like, boy, I'm such a fucking fraud, right? in my conscious mind, I go, well, there's actually not really any evidence that that's true.
Right.
Right. Maybe sometimes you've gotten into situations that were, you weren't totally ready for, but you figured it out. Like it all kind of worked out. And even when things, as they do occasionally, go poorly professionally, like there was a way to rectify that and sort of move past it. And generally that's the exception, like the rare exception. So it's interesting because, yeah, you're right. It does sound and act just like me, but I can't control the thoughts, even though I would never consciously have them.
Yeah. And that's a good place to point out, folks, if you stop this podcast now and then just go read or listen to Stephen Pressfield's book, that's fine with me. If you do that, you will hear or read him do a really great job of sort of personifying the resistance as a thing that's outside of you. And I think that's useful because, well, it's a useful reminder of the reality because of what we were just talking about. It masquerades as yourself, as your own thinking, as your own better angels saving you from doing something terrible. Like that's how you'll perceive it, at least at first, until you understand what's going on. And then you realize, wait a second, this is almost like an external intelligence that's like showing up inside my head, pretending to be me. And that's like this pivotal moment when you start to see the resistance for what it is, which is something that is opposing your efforts to do something that you really do want to do. And maybe it's a good point to talk about not loving it.
I think so, because this, so I'm totally 100% on the same wavelength as you with the resistance. I was a little less clear on the not loving it part. So yeah, let's turn to that and then start to see how we can contrast these two, because I find them confusing and I've experienced both plenty of times.
Well, this is where I get to do the surprise interview of you. So you have changed your business focus a number of times in the past 2 to 3 years, right?
Oh, yes. It's true.
To an extent, it's not like you were like, well, now I'm a coach, and then 6 months later, now I'm running a dry cleaning business, and later, now I'm like building hot rods in my garage. It's not that dramatic.
Right.
But still, there have been these moments where I think you said, you may have said to yourself, I'm not loving it, and I need to change. Is that fair, or am I mischaracterizing?
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. Yeah.
So what are you seeing when you're in that moment of like, you know, I think I'm not loving this. I think I'm ready to make a change. And really, you know, I am sort of putting you in the hot seat, but I think our listeners will really enjoy trying to kind of differentiate between what you have experienced in those moments and the resistance.
Yeah. Well, so of course, I always start with what you would call the listen question. So if I'm not loving it, I always ask myself, why are you not loving it? And I think what I try to figure out, partially through introspection, partially through boring my wife to death with all of my work stories and trying to sort of make sense of them to myself by boring her with it.
Have you ever seen her literally roll her eyes at any point?
No.
Okay. It's not that bad.
But occasionally, I mean, to her credit, she's generally like extremely helpful and open to listening to everything that I have to say, which is a lot. No surprise there. But occasionally she's like, yeah, okay, enough about business. I get it. Or occasionally she'll just be like, all right, just do it already. You've been talking about this for a while.
Oh, good for her. You probably need that.
I do.
Yeah.
So I start with kind of asking, why am I not loving it? And I'm trying to, it's interesting, as we're talking about this, one thing I would acknowledge is that I probably don't make enough intuitive decisions. Like I try to maybe overanalyze things, which I think is just a part of my personality. But I'm trying to figure out, like, why am I having this feeling that I'm not loving it? So I'll give you an example because you asked. So I had the kind of copy customer research oriented business, GoodFunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I thought a lot about was that I love making stuff and I love marketing and the psychology of it and really understanding people and, you know, genuinely, this is not bullshit, trying to help them in some way
right.
through a product. Maybe it's in a small way. But I really love that part of it. And what I realized was I just wasn't able to maintain enough creative energy to do the work for my clients and market my business. And maybe that's a cop out. Surely Gary Vee would tell me I'm a lazy piece of shit. But for me, it felt true. It felt like I'm giving away some of my best stuff. And I'm just like, at the end of the day, I'm not like excited to sit down and market my business. Uh-huh. It seems like a huge problem. So I'm not loving it. There were some other reasons too, but I think that's illustrative of the fact that the resistance would manifest in, like, I haven't sent my daily email today, but the resistance sometimes manifests when I sit down to do that, which is more and more rare because I've done it so many times.
Yeah.
But I'll sit down and write out a couple bullet points and stare at it for 10 minutes. And then I go, oh, I better do some research. This one feels kind of weak. Like, my opinion alone isn't going to cut it today. Then I do some research and I'm like, oh, that's not doing it, right? And so that's a feeling of the resistance where I'm like, not just giving myself permission to say, well, just write it and see what fucking happens, asshole. It doesn't have to be perfect every time, right? Versus when I saw a long-term repeating pattern in my marketing business where I knew I wasn't loving the work. And one of the primary reasons for that is I felt like I was giving away my best creative work to my clients. And it was true. And that some of my talents were being wasted because of the way that business was structured. And to me, those two things are extremely and demonstrably different.
Interesting. Yeah. I also look back on the phase in my business where what I was selling was essentially copywriting services. Each new project I took on, I procrastinated more. I feel like the quality was not actually, I mean, maybe it was going up, but my perception was it was actually kind of going down over time, which I hate saying.
It just felt like drudgery.
Oh, I hate saying it, but it's true that there wasn't something that kept me going. And I think in the short term, it's very difficult to use that as something that distinguishes between the resistance and not loving it. Because if you're just like, okay, I have a week to figure out if I'm not loving this or if it's just the resistance, that's not enough time, I don't think, to figure it out. But when I look at the things that do routinely create the resistance, like getting this next version of the positioning manual shipped, like constructing the rest of the expertise incubator program and dealing with some of the social risk that's a part of that, and these things that bring up the resistance, when I look over the long term, that's where I start to notice the difference. Is if I look at like the sort of last year that I was providing copywriting services, each time I said yes to a copywriting project, it was just more and more like this sense of like, why am I doing this? I don't feel like I'm contributing to like the art of copywriting. I don't feel like I'm at, and this is all personal to me, I'm not saying these are the criteria anybody else would use to evaluate the difference between the resistance and not loving it. But for me, it was a feeling of like, I'm not advancing the state of the art here with my copywriting. At best, I am like imitating some best practices or trying to apply some best practices. And maybe I'm doing somebody a favor by charging like an affordable rate for a serviceable product.
Oh, I didn't realize you were running a charity.
But for me, well, I didn't either, but that would explain a lot of my frustrations at the time with my business. For me, it was like this feeling of like, it's going to sound so pretentious, Liston, but I'll just go ahead and say it. It was a feeling like I was wasting my time and abilities and effort.
Well, I felt that way too.
Yeah.
I don't think it sounds pretentious at all. But let me ask you this, because I agree with you. I thought what you said about myself, which is like, I'm not on the cutting edge here. Like, and how could you be 3 or 4 years into anything?
Yeah, exactly.
If right. that, I was like 2 or 3 years into copywriting when I started asking myself these questions. But sort of the next thing, if you're saying, okay, well, I'm not at the cutting edge or this isn't the state of the art and I'm not contributing to pushing this skill or this sort of domain of mastery, I'm not pushing it forward. Did you then ask yourself, well, is that something I want to invest in for the next 10 or 20 years?
That would seem to be the next step. That would be the next logical step, is to say, okay, self, let's get real here. Let's go on a vision quest. Let's drink some fucking peyote and figure this out, right?
That's one approach. Sure.
Obviously, I'm joking a little bit, but that is not what I did, because by some miracle, something else showed up that was for me such a compelling, fascinating line of inquiry, which is positioning, specialization. That showed up at about the time I was starting to become really disenchanted with what I was actually doing for a living. You could think of that as a sort of luck or a miracle or something, because I didn't have to go looking for it. It kind of found me. I mean, maybe I'm sort of glossing over some of the details in my memory. Maybe I did sort of go looking for it, but I think it's fair to say I kind of stumbled across this other thing, and it had all these qualities of like, I do want to get up early and write about this. I do want to learn more about this. I do want to master this. I do want to understand this deeply. I do want to have opportunities, even if they are not that well paid, to engage in helping people around this question. And I was lucky because I was naive. I thought it was something that could be figured out in about a year. I thought it was something that I could master that quickly, maybe. I mean, or I just assumed. I just assumed that this was like a lot of other things I've seen in my life where it's not that hard to figure out. It's not rocket science, is what I guess what I would have said. What happened is it turned into this fascinating, like, cave of marvels that I had stumbled into that just kept getting deeper and more interesting the further I went into it. And part of what I'm doing starting this year is starting a new podcast called The Self-Made Expert to talk to other people who've had a similar sort of journey of like maybe stumbling into something that holds this fascination, and it's a 10 or 20 year project for them to become a world-class expert in this thing. And I don't know, maybe we're all just lucky if we can find something like that. Maybe it's not something that is repeatable or can be made into a system or whatever. But I see enough people who do it that I know I'm not the only one by any means. So when the resistance comes up in the context of this fascinating cave of marvels that I'm exploring, like, I now understand, oh, that's the resistance. Yes, it feels just as shitty as back when I was doing copywriting, saying yes to a project I didn't really want to do. It feels equally bad, but there's a sort of like, you can see when you look at it that it's the resistance. It's not loving it.
Okay. So tell me, how can you identify the difference?
How it feels after you push through it, I guess, is the best I can say. The most simple best I can say is like how it feels after you push through it. I think it's a little bit like building physical fitness by lifting weights. Like, while you're lifting the weights, feels real shitty. I mean, maybe not to you, but it does to me.
No, I love it, actually.
Yeah. And that's like, you're lucky, I think, in that way. But to me, it doesn't. It feels like, sometimes it feels like I want to throw up. It doesn't feel like pleasant in any way. Mm-hmm. Maybe at some point down the road, I will be at some point where I'm like, oh, I love this. I love the burn. Feel the burn, baby. But not right now. But when I've pushed through it and I've realized that I've accomplished something, and then I can over time start to see the results of doing that, that's when I'm like, okay, this is worth the pain in the moment. And same thing with my business. It's like I gave sort of generalist copywriting work, I'd say a good maybe 2-3 years. And I just was not like dramatically better at the end of those 2-3 years. You compare it to what I've been doing for the last 3 years or so, and I feel like I have dramatically leveled up. And other people have told me the same. Like, people have been on my email list for that length of time, for example. So I have external validation that that's happening. That's my long-winded answer, my friend, of saying, when I would push through a copywriting gig, I would be like, thank God that's done. And when I push through the resistance around like working on the version 3 of the positioning manual, I look back at it and I'm like, wow, that's some good work that I did. That's like really good.
Yeah, that's exactly when you were talking, I was going to put a bow on it and you just ruined it. But when you were talking, I thought about the difference between in the aftermath, the difference between a sense of relief and a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
Right. And I think like I can totally relate to that.
Yeah.
When I remember this one copy job, which was not my proudest moment, but it was already like 3 days late. And then I was up to like 3 a.m. doing it. And of course, how productive are you really after 9 p.m.?
Liston, you're paying for my next therapy session. You're giving me PTSD with this.
Yeah, you're maybe like, what, 30% productive at that time? Like, it's not too great.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And then, you know, I get it in and I felt relieved when it was done.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel a sense of accomplishment. And like, I had my course, Consulting Sales Bootcamp, which I just completely redid, completely re-recorded.
Yeah.
Very targeted more at individuals now, very targeted at their specific problems. And it was a bitch to re-record it and redo the whole thing. But
yeah,
I am proud of it. I mean, it does feel like an accomplishment. Now, is it the pinnacle of my life's work? Of course not, right? It's just a step in the right direction. But because of that, I look at that and say, yeah, okay, there was a little bit of resistance there and there was some hard work that needed to be done, but I feel really good and I'm already motivated to move on to the next thing.
Yeah. There's this part of me that is always seeking to take these kind of insights and turn them into things that can be done on a smaller scale or things that can be done through thinking without actually having to do the work or things that can be done on a shorter timeline. I have not succeeded at that with this question. I don't know. I mean, if someone was to come to me and say, like, I feel terrible when I do this thing, I don't know if it's the resistance or not loving it. What do I do? Like, if someone came to me with that question, I mean, I would say, well, listen to episode 71 of Offline or whatever episode this turns out to be. And I don't know how to save you the time of experimenting and trying it yourself. That's what I'm trying to say here. I do not know how to save people time when it comes to this. I wish I did. The question sort of haunts me a bit because this is part of the work I do is helping people decide how they are going to focus their business.
I don't think you should feel guilty about that though, because it's funny, you were just talking about how much I've changed my business over the last few years. So
yeah.
Once again, I'm rethinking it, which is something that I just do. I don't think thinking alone is the answer to everything or that thinking alone can give people what they need 100% of the time. Some of it has to come from just doing. I think that there's a more effective way to do things. But that's an optimization in many cases, assuming that you're not doing things totally wrong.
I know. And that's, I mean, in large part why I'm reorienting so many of my service offerings around experiential learning rather than here's a course you can take. Mm-hmm. I'll still create courses where they make sense. But a lot of it is essentially me saying, I cannot tell you what is the best way for you to do X, but I can create a really productive experiment for you if you have the time to invest in that experiment. So that automatically disqualifies like a ton of people who just don't have the time. Like they're working 60 hours a week to just scrape by as a freelancer. Mm-hmm. I am so sorry I can't help you, but I can't, at least not with this approach. And it's the approach, but if I can find someone who things are going pretty well or pretty okay, and they do have some ability to be wasteful with their time. I don't mean negligently wasteful. I just mean, could you do 10 hours a week for a few months of something with no guarantee that it's going to pay off exactly the way you want?
Yes. Okay. That's a way better way to put it rather than wasteful because...
Yeah. Wasteful has some baggage to it. You're right. Wasteful has baggage to it that doesn't really apply here. But also, I mean, I don't know if you own any Apple stock anymore. There's no guarantee that's always going to go up. So you could look at investing the same way. There's no guarantee you're going to get your money back at all, or you're going to get a great return. This is the same thing. And I feel like if someone can come show up with that of like, yeah, I can spend 5 or 10 hours a week doing things that I'm not certain will pay off, I know exactly what they should spend that time doing that will help them discover whatever it is. I mean, not whatever it is they want to learn, but will be a pretty productive use of that time for discovering something or learning a new skill. And it's like, I'm just trying to reinforce what you said earlier, which is some things you just have to try. You can't just think your way through certain problems. You have to try and do your way through certain problems. And more, I think I'm coming to believe that the majority of success in business falls under that domain of you're just going to have to try some things and see what works. Yes, there is room for strategy and planning and clear thinking and thinking before you do and measure twice, cut once. Yes, there's room for all of that. But those things do nothing unless you take action.
Well, and maybe that is the resistance coming up and getting in our head and telling us we're frauds and we mistake it for that we don't want to do the work. And so we start looking for shortcuts.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of the drive to get away from the hard work that inevitably comes with a resistance talking to us, or just maybe a nagging feeling in the back of our minds. But what I find is the work that's worth doing is hard. The work, if it were truly that easy to solve these hard problems, it wouldn't be hard, right?
Yeah, no, it's like they
say, you wouldn't really need to ask for advice.
Yeah, everybody would do it if it was easy.
Right.
Self-employment included. You're right. Yeah, the resistance can really sort of say to you, that's one of the multitude of things it can say specifically is, you need to think about this some more. It's too soon to start taking action on this. It's not planned out enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to try to make an analogy to agile development versus waterfall development, but I don't think that's really applicable here. But for sure, I have had that form of the resistance pop up. Don't start yet, Philip. It's not figured out yet. And part of what I do is intentionally do things that are not fully figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that makes me look indecisive or like I change my mind a lot. I'm sensitive to that because that's like a status thing for me. But you're definitely right that the resistance is like, that's another one of its characteristics is it's like, no, don't take action yet. That would be wasteful. You haven't figured this out. It might go wrong. So you need to spend more time thinking. But there is a moment when you have to say, not now or never, but well, I can't learn anymore by thinking about this. I have to start trying some things.
Okay. So the voice in my head would say that, but the way it would say it is, fuck it. Let's give it a try.
I like your voice.
Yeah. It's for better and for worse, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes I do waste time and energy, but in other ways it pays off.
Yeah.
Bigly.
Well, at least you're trying things.
Indeed. Well, Philip, I think we covered it. Is there anything else that you want to say?
I don't think so. I hope our listeners will let us know if they feel like we covered it. I feel like it's not on my list of like meta skills for consultants, but for sure, this would be, if the list were longer, this would be on the list, is the skill of knowing when it's the resistance and when it's time to do something different. So I wish all our listeners the best of luck figuring that out. Listen, I wish you the best of luck dealing with your dog and his needs.
Thank you, Philip. I appreciate it.
I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye.